Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has room. He's got one man to beat. Now he pitches to Flanagan, and he may take it all the way. Flanagan's in for the touchdown.
McKinley Wright from the logo.
Oh,
got it. Oh, McKinley Wright.
Breaks a tackle. Touchdown. Touchdown. That's five for Chris Brown.
The defense of Tomlinson.
Got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Caught by Westbrook for a touchdown.
I think they like my Colorado sway. Cause when I'm in it, play. I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in it, go. You know I'm acting bad. Holly, get a bus with my Colorado sway.
Welcome into the DNVR Buffs podcast presented by the American Raptors. I'm Henry Chisholm, and we've got some stuff to talk about. Let's see. I guess we'll go through a couple notes from Carl first. Honestly, not that much to talk about, although he was very excited today. He was very excited. From there, I had a chance to talk with Jaylee Stacks. I had a chance to talk with Austin Smith. And I'll be playing the audio from both of those interviews at the end of this podcast. So stick around for that. I will say the audio quality is not great. You know, it's been pretty hit or miss so far this spring. And in hindsight, it's like, why was I standing in a corner during all this? Like, of course, the corner is going to echo with those massive ceilings inside not inside the indoor practice facility, but that ticket office right outside it. So I actually haven't gone back and tried to clean it up yet. And, I mean, mostly because it seems like it's going to be really hard, if I'm being honest with myself. And, so there is that. It's a little bit rough, but you're going to be able to hear it just fine because I'm going to be able to fix that. I'm sure I'm going to be able to fix that. So that's the plan for today. Run through some stuff with Carl, talk about what those two had to say pretty briefly, but then playing those interviews at the end. I think it was about 5 or so minutes with Jaylee Stacks and about 10 minutes with Austin Smith. Both really fun conversations. I'll say this right now. Those are two of my favorite guys to talk to. And I actually had never met either of them before, but just the energy. Like, Jaylee fired up. Like, he's a little ball of energy, which makes sense for, like, a fullback. Like, I feel like you kind of have to be that, right? Because you're, like, plowing through guys and stuff. If you can't, like, keep that energy high, it's going to be pretty obvious pretty quick. But then Austin, really smart guy. Got to talk to him about all sorts of stuff. Transitioning to tight end. What it's been like working with Clay Patterson. All that sort of stuff. And he had a bunch of great insights. So it's always fun to, like, find those guys where it's like, oh, this is a great interview. And it's not that there's, like, anyone on the team where it's like, oh, not talking to him. But, you know, it's like I go back to Casey Roddick a lot because he's a fun, smart guy who has a lot of things to say. And I think, honestly, Jaylee and Austin are both probably on that list now, which is a lot of fun. But, yeah, so those two interviews coming up at the end of the show, so definitely stick around for all that. I don't think there's any other notes to get to. There's a couple new offers. I think there's like five or six Cherry Creek guys. I know Justin Guerrero from Rivals kind of compiled all that stuff on Twitter today. But I think that's the closest thing we have to news, so we don't need to get into it. The Avs just put up 9 goals. So here's a funny thing. Actually, I'll tell you about this stuff when we talk about DraftKings in a little bit. Let's just jump in with Carl here. So, like I said, Carl was very excited today, which is always fun, right? Like, because you never really know. Like, it's not like Carl's like, oh, no, got to deal with Carl today. But, you know, always fun when he, like, comes out. He's like, oh, that was awesome when he's like walking out the door and he's excited, and we didn't obviously get to see it. He actually made a joke. He's like, yeah, you guys couldn't see it. It's like, no, we couldn't. Would have loved to, though. Would have loved to have written more nice things. Turns out actually that kind of the stars of the day were Austin Smith and Jaylee Stacks. So perfect timing, right? Like, that's what a day to have requested those two. So one of the things Carl said, he actually kind of opened with this, was that they did a lot of, he called it situational live work today. There was a lot of work near the goal line, a lot of third and goal from the two, a lot of short third down stuff. So that was kind of the vibe. You know, it's a bunch of red zone drills. And he actually set it up so that the offense gets 7 points for scoring a touchdown. The offense gets 3 points for kicking a field goal. The defense gets 7 points for getting a stop. And he said the defense was up 11-0 at the end, or sorry, at the beginning, 11 quick ones. So I'm not sure how you get to 11 with those numbers, right? Because it's like seven. But he says it was 11-0, and then the offense came back and made it 18-11 and wound up winning that way. They were playing like the fight song whenever the offense scored, which I'm not sure if that's been going on all camp. I know that they were doing it on Monday and on Wednesday. You can hear like the excitement from outside. But it was good competitive work. You could tell Carl was really fired up by it. And the guys were too. I talked to those two about it, of course, as well. Yeah, just he said he liked seeing the competition. There were no injuries and can't really do much more than that. Let's see, I'm just kind of skipping through here. He said Dion's had a pretty good spring. He also brought up Jaylee Stacks, that he surprised some people, had a really good spring too. You know, he said that they're hoping to see that second group close the gap with the first group. And the idea is that, you know, there's a bunch of guys who are hurt. A lot of them are starters. And because of that, you get a lot of extra work for guys like Jaylee and Dion. And if those two and the rest of them really can step up and make it so that you kind of have two first lines, it'll make things a lot easier when guys get hurt inevitably over the course of the season. But he brought up Jaylee is one of those guys who stepped up, brought up the safeties and the corners. He says that they're looking really good and that depth is really stepping up, kind of evening out that gap. To Marvin Ham. He's saying that he's having the best football that he's seen him play since he's been there. He's getting a lot of reps right now, and those are paying off. Brought up Zion playing really well behind him. Alvin Williams. It was a big day for Alvin Williams. I think we also heard... Oh, now that I'm here, this is what happens when you do a podcast at midnight. Carl brought up Alvin Williams and said, like, he's playing really well, but Mr. Williams, so Alvin Williams is an outside linebacker. Mr. Williams is an inside linebacker. I'm pretty sure that it was Alvin also that Austin brought up when I asked him, like, who's the toughest guy to block. So I thought that was interesting. But you guys will hear if that's Alvin or Mr. My brain is not there right now. I could go look. It's not worth it. Putting pressure on the quarterback, you know, that's one of the things that he's been emphasizing. Brought up that they had the fewest sacks in the Pac-12 last year. Alvin Williams contributing there as well. Brought up Zion again. Okay, here's some stuff on Austin Smith. Said he's a talented young man. He's going to be a different dimension for us offensively. He's still a young player, though. He still hasn't played a snap yet. He's still going through some growing pains metaphorically. He had a touchdown today, but afterward, he got stripped in the end zone. And, I mean, again, like, he's in the end zone, and so it means that you get the touchdown. But you could tell Carl didn't love that, and Austin... Well, you can hear what Austin had to say later on. But Carl said he has a really bright future. He's going through some growing pains. There's some things where you say, oh, okay, that looks pretty good. That needs to be cleaned up. Or that could be pretty good. Sorry, I'm really rambling right now. But said let's keep building on the good category, eliminate. And then he kind of paused and was like, eliminate kind of stupid stuff. And it's like, no, not stupid stuff. He's just inexperienced. He's outgrowing. He's getting better. So there's an update because, you know, Austin has been one of the clear stars of camp. I think Eric Olson probably at the top of the list. Now we're just past the halfway point now. But it does seem like Austin's name is coming up more and more and more. So it's what you want to hear. And I think Carl maybe tempered things just a little bit, right? Saying like, yeah, I mean, there's still plenty to work on. And Austin says the same thing, which you'll hear later. But it's good to know. It's good to know. He said Jay Lee did some really, really positive things today. This was when he was asked who was kind of the star of the offense, that comeback brought Jay Lee. Also said that Dion had a touchdown, and he has said that Jay Lee's been a little bit more consistent, made some plays happening. He said it's been very surprising to all of us, but we're excited. But he brought him up. Then next up was Austin with the touchdown. Said the offensive line looks like a different group than it was a year ago. They have chip on their shoulder. Didn't have a very good year on either front, offensive or defensive front, but the competition's been really good. He said that, like, they're competitive. There's fisticuffs. There's stuff like that. And they said, like, we're, you know, you like to see the energy. You don't want people to fight, and so it's kind of cool. But I mean, from the outsider, you definitely want to hear that there are fights between the offensive line and the defensive line on the practice field. Like, just straight up, that is a good thing. It's like, yeah, you don't want anybody to, like, get hurt or anything. You want everybody to be, like, friends and stuff. But also, you just need that level of caring, really. But yeah, said that there was a lot of progress. There says that Tommy Brown has kind of become one of the, I think he said he's been a popular guy. Everybody enjoys having him around. And he said he's also, like, been a really good football player, but he's a jokester. He's a lot of fun. Has a great work ethic. And that's one of the things that kind of jumps out, where it's like, yeah, I guess if you come from Bama, where everybody's just working their ass off every single day, I bet you do have a good work ethic. And so for Tommy to have that energy and that, it's good stuff there. Let's see. Where do we go from here? Always a good question. You know what? Here's where we're going to go. We're going to keep this one short, real quick. DraftKings Sportsbook. So I had a bit of a rough betting night, which is surprising because things are going really well. For a second, I thought that I was in line to make quite a bit of money. And I guess that's why it wasn't. I mean, I was 0 for 2. But let me tell you what those two bets were. So first, the Avs game. I'm not sure if you guys watched, but the Avs won 9-3. It was incredible. Like, they scored 9 goals. Just insane. Okay. Well, first, the Avs. I had them to score the first goal in the game. They did that. I had them to win by 3.5, or more than 3.5. So to win by 4 goals, which is a bold pick, obviously, but they easily did that. I also had them to score the last goal, which they did not do, which sucks. But that would have paid out plus 475, so like a $10 bet would have been $57.50 that comes back out of it. Here's the thing that I think is wrong, though. So I actually made the other bet, which I thought missed, by just opened my DraftKings account, and I guess it didn't miss. But the Pelicans, I had them to beat the Spurs in this play-in game. For CJ McCollum to hit 3 threes, for the Pelicans to win the first half, all those things happened. I also had Brandon Ingram over 25.5 points. And this one was plus 450, so about the same odds. And I thought that he finished with 25. Like, I was obviously watching down to the wire, and, like, he was passing the ball a couple of those possessions at the end, and it's just brutal to watch. But, yeah, DraftKings has him with 27. I'm not sure how that happened. So I guess that bet hit, so never mind. It actually turned out to be a pretty good night. So that's exciting for me, and it could have been exciting for you if you had been betting with DraftKings Sportsbook. It's seriously the best sportsbook app out there. I obviously really like the same game parlays. You can definitely get in on those. And the reason I actually made those is because they were risk-free parlays. So, you get for the play-in, you could get a, I'm looking at the wrong read. Cause I was wondering, not to spoil what's going to happen next week, but this week also, for each day of the play-in, you get a risk-free bet up to $10 if your same-game parlay doesn't hit. So you throw $10 down on one of those, which is what I did. Throw $10 down, you win $45, or you get $10 back in a risk-free bet, or in a free bet. So it's an awesome promotion, and because of that, I made some money. So you'll love to see that. But also, if you're a new user, you can bet $5 on any team to win any of these play-in games. You'll get $150 in free bets instantly. You don't need to get your bet right. You just got to make the bet, and the money will just come straight back at you right away. It's awesome stuff. So use that promo code DNVR at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Also want to tell you guys about Athletic Greens. So if you haven't heard about Athletic Greens, you probably haven't been listening to this podcast for very long because we talk about it pretty often. But what it is it's basically this powder. You scoop it up, you put it in your drink, you shake it up, and then you drink it. And it's filled with all sorts of really good things. There's 75 high-quality vitamins. There's minerals in there. There's whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens, just so much awesome stuff that helps with your immune system, your nervous system, gut health, energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things, everything that you could want. So whether you're looking for more energy or you don't have the time to take a bunch of different supplements, you just want better gut health. That's like a thing that's going around. I remember my mom telling me about that a few years ago, but now it seems like it's everywhere. Athletic Greens is the answer. And actually, so for me, I always take it in the morning. I like wake up, I go to the kitchen, I like shake that up. They give you like the little shaker thing. I like to throw some of that crushed ice in there and then shake it until that's all gone. And then it's all well shook up. And then it's also really cold. I drink all that and I go to the gym. That's always my routine. But I've actually recently started making like bigger batches. So I'll make just like a whole bunch of it and wind up with, here's another thing. I haven't done the dishes in too long. I've been drinking out of red Solo cups for a couple days, which is kind of a throwback. I've been getting like two and a half glasses usually of those, 2.5 red Solo cups of those, and just pound all that. And it's just a good way to start your day because like all that stuff is good for you. It's also just good for you to drink water. So Athletic Greens also, if you sign up, you'll get a free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. It's a great deal. Go to athleticgreens.com/buffs. That's athleticgreens.com/BUFFS. And take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And also, Escape Artist is the highest awarded topical brand in Colorado. It prioritizes quality and consistency. With ratios available in 1-to-1 and high ratio CBD 20-to-1, we have you covered. Always using the best materials and ingredients to deliver the premium experience. Their 800-800 creams are Escape Artist's highest potency creams available. They penetrate deep from through to help muscle discomfort all the way down to the bone. They are non-greasy, non-staining. They're fast-absorbing. They take 10 minutes or less to start working, and the benefits last up to 2 to 3 hours. You can pick up Escape Artist at Colorado's premier dispensary. That's Lightshade, with 11 convenient Denver Metro and Aurora locations. Their Barnum location is now open. It's one block off of 6th Avenue Federal, and it is the biggest Lightshade store with specialty products not offered at other locations. Plus, they have a bunch of different specials for 420, including 5 best-selling products. There will be buy one, get one for a dollar from April 20th to the 26th. So get in on that at Lightshade. And podcast listeners can get 25% off on non-sale items with code DMVR. Shop online at lightshade.com for pickup or visit a Lightshade location near you. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, so we're going to get into this audio. We're going to hit Austin Smith here first. So you guys can hear him talk for yourself. I don't think there's any other like background you need, except that, I mean, but again, even he covers this stuff. We've covered it here as well. You know, he was a receiver in high school. He was a receiver because he played somewhere where there were not tight ends. Like, that just wasn't a thing. I forget what the high school is called off the top of my head. I just finished my story about him. Go to thedmvr.com to read that. There's some good stuff. But I didn't realize he was like, he said he was 175 pounds before COVID. Again, you're going to hear all this stuff from him. I think that we've covered the tight ends enough. Just the idea of him flexing around, like the idea of him and Brady lining up next to each other, then he flexes out in the slot, Brady motions in the backfield, and all of a sudden it's a totally different look, and the defense has to readjust everything, and all within 5 seconds. You know, the defense has to rethink everything and change their all their little checks and all those sorts of things. And it just gives the offense such an advantage. And while Brady obviously can do what Brady does, Austin can do some pretty cool stuff too. So here's Austin Smith, a redshirt freshman tight end.
We heard you had a touchdown today?
I had two, but one was a 7-on-7.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what happened on those?
The 7-on-7 one, it was just... it was a corner, and okay. I just got in front of the linebacker. And then the other one, it was a deep over, but I really wasn't supposed to get the ball. It was weird. It just popped up into my arm. Okay. It, like, went through somebody else. It was supposed to go somebody else, but it popped in my arm, and I had it. So just tucked it down and went into a touchdown.
Awesome. Carl also said that the ball got knocked out afterward. Did you hear about that at all?
No.
I like it. I mean, just for you, going into year two, like, where's your confidence level at?
It's building, especially with Coach Patterson. I mean, it's crazy how much he knows about the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a blessing just to be able to get coached by him. You know, I was never a tight end. I was always a receiver. So, you know, him really teaching me how to use my body to an advantage is really helped me build my confidence up. You know, I have a long way to go, but he's helped me build my confidence up a lot.
What was that like for you just in the recruiting process? Like, so were teams looking at you saying, we want you to be a receiver, we want you to be a tight end?
Well, first off, I was getting recruited as a receiver. And when my junior year, I was 175. But then it was January of my junior year. And then by my senior year in June, I got to 225.
How does that happen?
COVID, right? I mean, Texas, you're just down there. I lived out on a farm. So, like, all I had to do was eat and lift. That's all I did.
Yeah.
I watched Netflix, too, but I lifted probably like 3 times a day. Ate nonstop. But then school, I went to a camp in summer. It was a D2 camp because one of the biggest schools sent me there because, you know, the band.
Yeah.
And this guy comes up to me, he's like, do you want to go D1? I'm like, of course. And he says, you're a tight end now. I was like, okay.
It was that easy?
That easy. I just switched, and, you know, they marketed me as a tight end, and now I'm here.
It seems like it'd be kind of tough to accept that, though. Like, you have to spend a lot of time blocking, and you aren't just out there going up against the little DBs.
I mean, I like a challenge.
Okay.
I like a challenge. So it was a big switch, but I'm still catching the ball. So I feel like I could bring a lot of versatility to the tight end position.
Because you don't necessarily just have to line up in line. You know, with you and Brady, there's some versatility. With Brady, it's more like flex them into the backfield. With you, it's more out in the slot.
For sure.
Is that a challenge just to learn, like, even just how to play that kind of receiver position from the tight end spot? Is there anything different there?
To be honest, when I'm out there, when they split me out, I just think of myself as a receiver. All the tight end notions just go out the door. So when I split out a receiver, I'm a receiver.
Okay.
I'm in line, tight end.
Okay. What kind of farm did you grow up on?
It was pretty much a lot of things. We grew some squash every once in a while. Had some gardens. We always had cows.
Okay.
We had some horses. You know, it was 50 acres, and we had bought some more land, and I kind of miss it.
How long has that been in your family?
I'm not sure how long it's been in my family, but okay. I grew up on it. You know,
okay.
I never knew anything else.
Yeah, I'm from Montana, so it's all like the same stuff up there. Yeah. What's the process of learning how to block like?
Hard.
Yeah.
No, it's I mean, at first, my first, you know, semester here, I really couldn't get the grip of it.
Okay.
And then, you know, Coach Patterson came and he describes it as, he has this thing called the Road to 500. And it's from this movie called something. And it's these guys who, like, from their kid childhood, build up to 500 street fights. So you have to think, when you're in there, like, it's either hit or be hit. You got to hit them first, you know? And once I, like, figured that out and started really, like, applying that to my game, I feel like it's starting to get easier. I mean, like I said, I still have a long way to go, but I feel like it's getting really easier.
Where are you at size-wise? Like are you comfortable at the weight you're at right now? Or are you trying to build more?
Oh, I'm going to build more. I feel like I can get up to how much I want. I mean, my frame can hold it, but I gotta put some more weight on.
Okay.
But I'm trying to keep my speed at the same time.
Okay. In practice, when you're running routes, who provides trouble for you?
Like cornerback wise.
Yeah.
Or
linebackers, whoever they line up.
Let me think. I would say Nico Reed.
Okay. He's a smaller guy.
Oh man, Nico's cold. Nico is like, he has the underdog mentality.
Huh.
I feel like he's always been, you know, he's not been the biggest, but you mm-hmm. know, he's gonna get after you. He's gonna take that fire, you know, and he's gonna get after you.
Did he have one on you in the scrimmage? A breakup? That might have been Josh.
That was Josh. It was Josh.
Okay.
Yeah, Josh is stepping up for a freshman. I like to see him grow.
Okay. What about blocking wise? Like,
blocking?
Who's toughest to block?
I say Mr. Williams probably.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Mr.'s like, when he sits in there, it's gonna take a lot to just I'm just have to like run full sprint at him just to you know get him off his track. You know,
yep.
he's really good. He knows really how to play off a block.
Okay. What's the communication like with you and the offensive line?
It's pretty good. You
Is
know,
it?
if we don't know what they're doing, we don't know what we're doing. So, and that's a big thing Coach Sanford teaches is over-communicate.
Okay.
You know, so even if you know something, when you get to the line, it's still like, so, like what you got? What do you have? Like, we have this, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of that.
That makes sense. So one of the things that Clay's told us is that he wants to include more people in the passing game. You know, not just focus so much on receivers who get the ball. You guys get the ball, the running backs. Do you feel like you're seeing that play out at all?
Oh, of course.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm getting a lot of targets. I just got to bring most of them in. You know, I just got to be a better player. We have been getting a lot of targets, though, and I really like that.
Okay. What was it like last year not getting to play?
Heartbreaking.
Yeah? Did you think you were going to play?
I mean, of course, but then I came up here and had that soft tissue injury, and, you know, you fall into a state of what am I doing, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're depressed and
yeah.
you're fighting through it, you know, my family's back at the farm, mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't even let them come see me,
huh.
I wouldn't let them come to a game until I did end up playing on special teams the last 2 years, played two games, but you know, it meant the world to me, just getting to play, you know,
yeah.
even the three snaps I played, it was just like heaven, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of different playing special teams versus playing offense.
Oh, for sure.
And for you, I mean, you're probably focused on, you know, how to go catch balls, how to block, that sort of stuff. Like, special teams-wise, is there, like, a technique that you have to learn to do that sort of stuff?
Oh, yeah, especially Coach Reiner. I mean, it's a lot of technique,
yeah.
but that's probably the best special teams coach in the country.
You think so?
Oh, I know so.
Okay.
That's the best. He knows everything. Thick and thin, everything. And he'll teach you, you know. I told him, you know, after coming off the injury, you know, there was a slim chance of me really playing tight end. So I was like, put me in. You know, anything you can put me in, just put me in. I don't care if I'm on field or kickoff. And he taught me. He took
awesome.
Me on his wing and taught me.
All right, there's Austin Smith. That audio I cleaned it up pretty well. I'm not going to lie. I almost feel like I need to plug in what it was before. At the end of this podcast, just so you guys can hear what that sounded like and be impressed by me, but I guess that isn't really the point of all this. Good stuff, though. obviously bright guy. He really wants it, right? Like, isn't that what stands out the most? That's what stands out the most to me. Like, it's like, oh, it's COVID. Might as well go work out three times a day. That was not my approach. That was not my approach. I wish it would have been. I'd be happy about it now. But, you know, when you have that sort of mentality, it's no wonder he winds up with a Division I offer, right? Because he was the last addition to this class. You know, I think he committed at like the end of April or something. So less than a year ago now, which is kind of wild to think about. But he was a late addition, and the reason was he was kind of a late bloomer. And, you know, I've made this pretty clear in the past, but he's one of those guys that the recruiting ranking systems did not think highly of, but I really do. And based on what we've been hearing this camp, based on just like what he is, right? A wide receiver who's now playing tight end. There's a lot to be excited about, especially when you take into account just the work ethic and how badly he obviously wants it. Like, not letting his family come visit him because he wasn't going to play in the football game. It's good stuff. I mean, maybe not like, I'm not like a psychologist or somebody who tells you whether you're doing the smart, healthy things that you should do for yourself. But as somebody who wants the Buffs to be good at football because my job becomes a lot more fun, I liked what I heard. So there we go. There's Austin Smith. Next up is Jaylee Stacks. And again, I think that we've basically covered the context, right? He mostly played fullback last year. He's getting quite a bit of run at running back, just tailback this year, because, you know, Alex Fontenot is limited. There's only like three other running backs, and so he's played a bunch of running back, and he's looked really good. You know, he was one of my guys who I thought was really going to break out last year, and guess what? I was wrong. But maybe this time around he figures things out, because it sounds like things are going well in camp.
A physical day.
Yeah, Carl said that you had some big plays today. What does that look like out there?
Honestly, just, you know, playing a game I love. You know, every day. Today we had live period, so it's a cool go. So, you know, a little scrimmage before the scrimmage on Saturday. So it's good to get that in. Yeah.
And it's some like close to the goal line sort of work out there too.
Yeah, goal line, third and two.
Yep.
So you got to get it.
Like that's right up your alley.
Yeah, and then we played a point system. So, like, if we score, we got 7 points. The defense stopped us, they got 7, we played the 18. So, you know, make it a little fun. Yeah, make it a little game between us.
So is that new so far in practice, pulling out that sort of stuff?
Yeah, that's new. Since I've been here, you know, I've never seen it. I like it, though. I've never seen it, but I like the idea of what he did. But it was cool. I think it got everybody's energy up. Playing for something, you know, to lose, and you don't want to lose, so it was actually fun.
Yeah. What's it like just being able to get out there? You know, it's a very shallow room right now, only a few backs in there. Yeah. Like, you get quite a few opportunities.
Oh, yeah, just make the most of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is only, what, 4 backs, but there'll be more backs. So, you know, every rep you have, you got to show what you have every day, 110%. You can't give a day where you're 90%, because, you know, it's all going to fluctuate, so you gotta be the best you every day.
So for you, obviously last year you mostly got on the field playing some fullback.
Yes, sir.
When you're in a room where it's a room of running backs, you're all running backs, but you're kind of doing something different a lot of the time.
Yeah.
What's that like when you're kind of the only one trying to learn about how to play that fullback position?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we will go over all the running back plays, but then Hagan will, you know, talk to me, single me out and be like, hey, Jaylee, on this 21 package fullback, you have this and that.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he singles me out to make sure I know what I'm doing on running back and on fullback. So, you know, so far I've gotten it all.
Okay. Yeah. Does it make it tough to learn, like, technique sort of stuff just because you probably aren't spending as much time on that?
I mean, it is a little hard. You got to, like, learn. But I feel like if I was a receiver, because the receivers and the quarterbacks have to learn so much. So I'm like, if they could do that, I could do my position.
Yeah, that makes sense. When you came to CU, did you envision yourself as like a tailback, as a fullback, or what did you think your role would be?
I thought it would be something what they have me right now.
Okay.
I mean, I am bigger, so I can contribute at fullback. So I thought that was something they put. But I am a running back too, so
yeah.
You know, I do a little bit of both. But I knew that coming in.
Yeah. So in terms of like your split at this point, I guess when you're kind of short on running backs in practice, you get a lot of extra time out there.
Yeah.
But it's got to be, is it tough to kind of switch between those two roles? Because it is kind of like a little bit of a different job.
Honestly, it's when me, it's because it's usually me and D. If I know D's in there, I know, all right, I'm fullback. This is my mode. This is what I am right now. If it's just me, H. I know, just switch the gears, you know. You got to be a different person on each position. You can't be the same guy. You can't be a tailback trying to play fullback because you're going to get blasted.
Yeah.
You can't be you could be a fullback trying to play tailback, but, you know, you just got to fluctuate what you're doing.
One of the things Clay's told us is that he wants the passing game to be a little bit more diverse.
Yeah.
You know, not just getting the ball to the receivers, but focusing on the tight ends, focusing on the running backs.
Yeah.
Has that played out in practice at all?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, today, fullback pass, touchdown.
Yeah.
So it's everything. He's talking about receivers, running backs, you know, fullbacks, tight ends, get them all in there. I mean, you don't want to just throw to the receivers all day. They're going to lock that up. So, you know, it's good to have all that dynamic in there. So I like the offense.
Yeah, and it seems like it plays into your hands a little bit, too, just because that, I mean, not that we've seen you play too much, but it seems like that's one of your strengths is the ability to catch the ball and break some tackles.
Oh, yes, sir, yeah. I mean, I think that's what makes me who I am. You know what I mean? I am a bigger body. You know, I can break tackles, but I think to have good hands is also contributes to the measure.
Awesome. You know, going through the last couple seasons, you don't get on the field all that much.
Yeah.
Was that kind of challenging to wait your turn?
I mean, for sure. But I always thought about it like, you know, come in every day and try to be better, 10%, 1% better. I mean, the guys that, you know, Dion, Fontenot, Jay Brew, you know, they had to wait their turn too. So I'm going to wait my turn and be great too. So just like them, you know, Dion was on the field this year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He had to wait his time, so I had to wait mine. So hopefully this year I can show what I have.
Yeah. You kind of have like a front row seat to the offensive line. Obviously, they struggled a little bit last year. What's the difference this year?
They're communicating more. They're up there. They know. I think they as an offensive line, I think they know what they're doing. They're calling things out and physical. They're physical, and so what I've seen is they're a better line. They're definitely a better line, and they're doing their thing out there.
All right. There's Jay Lee. Again, I just really like both these guys. And I do think Jay Lee's gonna do some things this year. He's again, like this fullback role in this sort of offense, I think could wind up being a pretty important one. You know, you talk about how you can motion around Brady, you can motion around Austin Smith. I think you can do the same thing with Jay Lee. You know, you line him up, you know, just say you have a tight end to the right, you know, tight end to the right, two wide receivers split out, one on each side, and you line up like a strong formation with Jay Lee at fullback on the right side. So you have him and Brady over there. Well, then all of a sudden, right before the snap, you switch him over to the left side. All of a sudden, that just changes all those checks. It changes all those checks. And then the balance is thrown off. All of a sudden, there might just be a blown assignment somewhere. Just the versatility that they have, I think, can really open some things up for them. And, again, I think you could do more with him than just ask him to play fullback. I think you could maybe he could line up at tight end. He could definitely play running back. So he's going to be a fun one to watch. He's got great hands. He's shifty. He breaks tackles. He punishes tacklers. There's going to be a role for Jay Lee Stacks this year, and I'm really excited to see what it is. That's going to do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm actually not sure what we're going to talk about. I really don't know, but on Thursday we will talk about something. It might be maybe just go back and go through the big storylines from the first half of camp. That'd be good. That'd be a good way to do it. Maybe I'll come up with something better, but I do think that's probably the best idea. We'll be back at some point tomorrow though with another podcast, and I'll see you then.